sure I'm going to be able to bring that to you today. I hope so. It's a great segment. If we have time, we got a lot to cover today. Hopefully you guys were nice to Sean Farish. Listen, today's headline. It's a very serious one. I'm going to tell you this right now. A documentarian, his name is JJ. Brian Mata is actually working with him. And I call him Brian Mata. If you call him Brian Mata, you know, I go by the song, Hello Mata, Hello Fada, Here I Am in Camp Granada. That's why I call him Brian Mata. So whatever you call him, I'm going to call him Mata. He's actually together with JJ to do a documentary film. It's just bombshell. You're going to hear some of the bombshell information that he's been covering. He's been out and about learning about all of these FEMA camps. Coincidentally, right in parallel, I had no idea that that's exactly what these guys were digging into. But he has, I'm going to say it lightly, he's opened up Pandora's box, ladies and gentlemen. He has opened up Pandora's box because wait until you hear, hopefully, well, actually, I'm rebroadcasting the same exact information because everyone needs to be wide awake to what's going on. We are literally one emergency away from, you know what that means? That means I got a boner. Just kidding. Just what? I'm just kidding. This boner music.
Sheriff's
Sorry.
Deputies arrest a man who they say has more.
What was that? What was that clip? Why didn't you play that all the way through? I got my cardio miracle. I need it because I'm going to have a heart attack. And my lovely bride has brought me my iced coffee. Huh? Iced coffee. Jeremy. He's got Rise Up coffee, right? No, it's not Rise Up. You know what it is? Actually, it's a special blend. It's Pete Santilli's special blend. Mm. Can you imagine? Thank you so much. Somebody just said, hi, Deb. And all I said was, I have a boner. So how did they know that there's a correlation between the two? Just kidding. You know what this is? That sounds like erectile dysfunction. Oh, my goodness. All right, you guys, the show, I go from one extreme to the other. I should be ranting in the next few. You need to understand what I'm about to tell you is very serious. There I was goofing off, and now we're going to get into a serious mode. We're going to get into a serious mode. Let me say hello to everybody first. Did you guys like, first of all, were you nice to Sean Farish? Were you nice to him? He's great. I want everybody in my chat room. Let's see who's a better host. Who's your favorite host, me or Sean Farish? Let's see what they say. Come on, be honest. Who do you like better? Who do you like better, me or Deb? Ladies, who do you like better, me or Deb Santilli? Come on, be honest. Pete, hello. Hi, Sherry and Susan. You guys, tough crowd. What's going on? Are you guys being mean to me right now? Come on. You, says Sherry Welch. It's a tie, says Steve. Get your mind out of the gutter. Pete behaves, says Angie. You, by far, says Western Dude. Sheila just ignores me and talks right past me and says, Angie, hello. That's right. Good afternoon, everybody. Let's see. World. There we go. Did everybody see the segment that I did with Brandon House? Because I know you guys follow everything that we do. Is there anybody that did not see the segment with Brandon House? Don't have a favorite. But Darlene Dempsey says, I don't have a favorite. All LFA are great. Oh, come on. The only thing that's in the middle of the road is a double yellow line. You know? Come on. I like you too, Deb Santilli. Yes, fantastic. Excellent. Excellent. Let's see. All right, I'm going to pull this up right now. I'm just going to give you a sample of it just a little bit here. All right. It's very, very intense information, but do you like that with the lower third across the bottom? That full screen one? You like that one? We need to do an LFA one, by the way, don't we? We will. We will. Actually, we'll do that. Leave that right there. What I'm going to do is I'm going to play something that was on Redacted with Clayton Morris. There we go. And it's about, it just touches on the FEMA camps. And then I'm going to, you know, no disrespect to the work that these folks are doing. But like I said, he's opened up a whole can of worms. I've reached out to him, to JJ, to share some information with him. Not a lot of people have the access and the information that I had at the time, but let's watch the audio there, and I want to make sure that I monitor the output. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen. One.
Question. So here's one for you. With over 30 million, upwards of 43 million illegal immigrants that have poured across the border during Biden's presidency, and the federal government is building massive facilities that can sleep tens of thousands of individuals all across the country. You probably haven't heard about these large facilities, have you? Well, why are they being built? Who are they for? We might finally have an answer. Listen.
It's not for these illegals, especially let's go off the numbers that they're telling us that there really are. They're saying, what, 11 million? In reality, I can tell you right now, with talking to all of the agents that I've talked to, private sector, looking at the cameras and all the real data, we're over 30 plus million who've actually entered this country.
Yep.
And so even with that, even though that's enough to replace about 36 states' population, why would they need to continue to do that if they're trying to absorb these guys, make them productive members of our society, get them into housing? Because we know that there are already housing projects being coordinated with builders, again, with our money. I believe it's to kind of like what Nazis did with the Jews, concentration camps, processing facilities. They're going to need somewhere to process the dissidents.
So it's not for illegal immigrants? Who is it for? Dissidents? We're going to unpack this with former 24-year veteran of the Customs and Border Protection, J.J. Carroll, who did this interview as part of his new documentary, Treason, scouring the country right now. And you just keep bringing unbelievable revelation after unbelievable revelation as part of this story. And I think, you know, again, most Americans have no idea what is going on, and it's being absolutely kept from the American people right now. And J.J. joins us once again here on the show. Great to see you. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me, Clayton. And this is, and thank you for talking about this documentary, because as I travel the nation, I have a very, I believe I'm an expert on this topic. However, when you talk to people, and I have talked to interviewed multiple people from all different levels of ability to get intelligence gathering data, it's fascinating to me and shocking at the same time when I speak to people that are very compartmentalized, meaning they focus on child sex trafficking. They talk about the gang members. They talk about facilities. And you get deep in that rabbit hole. Really, it's a rabbit hole. You're like, I didn't know it was this deep. I didn't know it was this broad. I didn't know it was this malicious. And you played this clip from someone I interviewed this past weekend. Her name is Christy Hutcherson, and she runs an organization called Women Fighting for America. But her background was federal contracting, and more specifically, abroad, but specifically, she worked on forward operation bases, FOBs, in military war zones, where she would put up these giant soft-sided facilities, water, food, et cetera, et cetera. So we're talking tens of millions, if not billions of dollars, right, that have transferred from her company, which she no longer is a part of, but she has access to all the bid contracts. So I'm interviewing her. And like I said, I have a very good understanding of what the hell's going on in America under this immigration invasion. But when I speak to people that are very dialed in on very specific areas, I'm shocked. She tells me, and I didn't know this because I don't have access to it. She has access to the federal database where you can go on a website and there are endless, endless bids for contracts from whatever. But she's focusing in on, she says to me, there's bids for detention facilities being built in all 50 states in America. And I said, okay, hold on a second. Say that again. She says, okay, I could go into a database because my company used to bid on all this. And I bid overseas, international contracts. Very, very intelligent woman, very, very connected. And she says, I go in the database, JJ, and there's detention facility bids to build individual detention facilities in every state in the union. And then she goes on to say to me, well, JJ, who do you think they're built for? Are they built for all the illegal aliens or the unaccompanied alien children? Of course not. And she has a point, right? Because
you would think, right? So that's where I was confused. I would have thought, okay, they're building all of these detention facilities across the United States for a purpose, illegal immigrant. But no, right? Because as your data has suggested, most of these ICE facilities, right? Can you talk about that? Are completely empty.
Yes. Well, they are completely empty. I talked to my buddies in Texas and in San Diego, and I talked to my ICE supervisors. They tell me, JJ, they're empty. So you're talking anywhere from 30 to 40,000 beds across America, mainly on the southern border, right? Are empty. Well, why are they empty? Because we have massive catch and release. Let me explain what this looks like. In the old days, right? The old days, Clayton, 3.5 years ago, not 30 years ago, when I got someone that was special interest alien, deported felon, whatever, I didn't release them. I sent them to a ICE holding facility, and they went and they waited there a week, 2 weeks, a month, whatever it was, to go in front of the judge, find deported, or found to be guilty of reentry and as a felon. Then they spent time in federal prison, and then they would be deported. So we had all this bed space. But now, if I get someone that's a deported felon, I know this is going to be hard for people to believe. I arrest someone that's a deported felon now, I'm releasing them. I'm releasing them on the street. So you go from arresting people 3 years ago, setting up for deportation and prosecution, goes to, we call it camp, a camp space, in an ICE facility, and then that individual goes to the court system and then is ultimately deported after he or she serves her time. Not now. Everyone gets arrested by the Border Patrol. They quickly vet them, and then release them. Just release them. We just had eight of them across the border were vetted and released. Now we find out they were actually ISIS terrorists. ICE had to go find them. All eight of them, I believe, entered together, but all eight of them didn't stay together. They went to Los Angeles, Philadelphia, and New York. So what Ms. Hutcherson is saying is, in coordination with what I know, is you have 40,000 beds. Why would you need more? Mayorkas continues to go in front of Congress and demanding, I need more money for ICE beds. And they say to him, sir, nobody, you have no one in them. I'll give you an example. San Diego sector has like a 2,000 bed soft-sided, hard-sided facility. The last I checked was six people in there.
People better wake up. I mean,
people better wake up. Come to me real quick. All right, this is what you're about to hear in this show. If you did not tune in to my broadcast with Brandon House, and then I've been covering this. I covered it with Ann Vandersteel. This is being obviously very supplemented by JJ and Brian Matta's work, and Redacted picking it up, obviously, and putting it out. You need to understand what I'm about to say right now. You don't know this, but you have been profiled. Each and every one of you, if you're tuned into the show, you have been marked for extermination. Okay. Meaning they're going to pick you up. They're going to send you to, you're already profiled. You have been deemed to be a national security threat. And I'm going to show it to you. This is something that's been in the works for a long time. What happened was they designed it. So the system, that is, 1984, there was an exercise called Readiness Exercise 84, well, dating all the way back then. They had been planning for this all along. What happened was Obama came in and weaponized everything. And if one national emergency takes place, they have you profiled. If you are a dissident, if you, you know, if you like President Trump, I'm not even joking. They've already deemed you to be a domestic terrorist, a resistor of their system that they want to put in place. You're anti-globalist. I am anti-globalist. I want death to the New World Order, period. How about you guys? Say it. Death to the New World Order. Death to the new globalist regime. We want that regime to be gone. I'm anti that. Anybody got a problem with that? Come get me, right? And bring an MRAP, you know? I'm just saying, I don't care what you think. I'm not going to stop. I am anti-New World Order. I'm in the United States of America. And these communists that have taken over our system, they need, there it is, death to the New World Order. I'm a domestic terrorist. Death to all the globalists. They have you profiled. They do. They have you set for Roundup. Now, I need everybody to share this information as if our lives depend on it. You go get more guns. You go get more ammunition. You go get more storable food. You go get more generators if you need them. You become self-sustaining. Because if you're not, you're going to have to get on a rail car and you're going to go to a facility. I sent a bunch of people a list of how many facilities there are. There's 70,000. I have the addresses. Do you guys want them? I can provide those to you, and we'll be providing those to you. You must understand, they're going to declare a national emergency. They're already telegraphing what they're going to do. And this is not fear-mongering, by the way. I'm speaking to you right now while I can, because there's going to be a time where, oh, we interrupt this internet to bring you the following, and everything's going to be drowned out. I'm with you, Pete Santilli. Time. Spill blood. I didn't say spill blood of time. Yeah, these nuts. That I did not say spill blood. I never said that. You need to protect. The reason why you need to, really the main reason why you need your guns and your bullets is to protect your food. If you're going to be staying out there all by yourself, you know, out in the toolies, and you have food, storable food, you need to defend your life, liberty, and property. There's no, I never said anything about spilling blood of tyrants, or, you know, those are what I call dead people quotes, right? There were probably, but you know what? We're very defensive. I did not say buy guns and bullets to go shoot people. Okay. You have to defend yourself, defend our stuff. All right. You have to, because if you don't have food, then you're going to be at their mercy. You're going to have to get on a rail car and go to one of their facilities. Okay. Yeah. Nick's dad said, go with Nick's dad. Don't do that. I never suggested spilling the blood of tyrants. I mean, you know, that's what cowards say online. Really, they do, with fake internet names. You want to spill the blood of tyrants and you run around with Bobblehead Joe, you know, internet name. Yeah, it's, you know, don't do that. Don't do that. It looks silly. Like I'm too afraid to use my own name and persona, but I'm not afraid to type the following words and threaten people. You're not going to do that. Okay. Sorry. He's nuts. I'm saying it's time to stand for America is right. You stand for we're actually beyond standing for America. America is almost gone. It is. It's almost gone. They have seized the power. They stole the power. They have control of it. Once they bring that national emergency, it's over, folks. I'm telling you. And I'm going to prove it to you here momentarily. But for right now, I do want to say that, ladies and gentlemen, you must absolutely, however you can, between now And, you know, we're going to make it through this thing. I'm telling you that. Look at the Soviet Union collapsed and look at how well they're doing now. They are. The Russians, they're doing very well. They collapsed years ago and they were able to make it to the other side. You know what the number one top currency, the most valuable thing that you could have when the Soviet Union collapsed? Two things. Number one was fishing line. Fishing line. And the second item was vodka. If you had that, you were like an oligarch. No joke. Why fishing line? Because of food. You have to go fish. You got to eat. The food supply chain seized up. All right. I want you to help support us by supporting our sponsors, one of which is, right, your revival of health can come through Armra Colostrum. Let's talk about Armra Colostrum. You know, everyone's always on the lookout to, you know, strengthen their immunity. You got to keep yourself strong, of course. Keep yourself strong during cold and flu season. And you know the bird flu is coming, of course. Well, you got to have a good, strong immunity. There's an incredible product called Armra Colostrum. And your immune health is never going to be so strong. Vitamin C isn't the answer. Strengthening your immune health with Armra Colostrum is. You know, some people just don't get sick. You ever notice that? Because their immune system is strong, like mine is on a regular basis. But if you guys haven't heard about this bioactive whole food on the market with 5,000 published research studies backing it, colostrum is the first nutrition that we receive in life and is an exclusive source of all the essential nutrients we need in order to thrive. Right? It's got a proprietary concentrate of bovine colostrum that harnesses over 400 functional ingredients to strengthen your immune barriers. So your body's inside suit of armor, we'll call it, right? The first line of defense against those harmful particles from the environment that can trigger inflammation and make you sick. All right? It ignites your metabolism, fortifies your gut health, promotes hair growth, skin radiance, empowers fitness, performance, and recovery. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, I am going to tell you that we have a special deal for all of our LFA family members. And if you use the promo code LFATV, that's LFATV as a promo code. All right. Let me tell you what happens with this deal that we've put together for Armra Colostrum. All right. This special offer for our audience, receive 15% off your first order. Go to tryarmra.com/LFATV or enter LFATV to get 15% off your first order. That's TryArmra.com/LFATV. All right, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to play you an excerpt of a bombshell, and there's a lot more information I'm going to be conveying, but I need to get everybody up to speed. Is everyone aware of Rex 84? Oh, I'm sorry, let me ask the other way around. Is there anybody that's not aware of what Rex 84 was? Rex 84. Okay, let me tell you what the number one trigger is for this major emergency that is expected to come. And it has everything to do with June 9th, us coming away from the 50-year agreement between the United States and Saudi Arabia. Okay? In the manual that I had when I actually had an injury, I had a desk job. They gave me a desk job. And they said, Santilli, work on this thing. And I had to work on procedures for how to get weapons that are out in the open, out on the flight line during civil unrest and bring them back into the magazine. They're called magazine areas. They're like storage facilities that are buried in the hills. They're like bunkers. And then there's deep underground military bases as well. So how do we get the weapons from the flight line to the deep underground military bases, to the magazine storage areas? How do we do that during civil unrest? I had to write those procedures. Well, the one thing that I read about Rex 84 and why FEMA was important, because that's how FEMA was born, was through Rex 84. They said the trigger would be if, because we were vulnerable, that we sold off our debt, essentially, to Saudi Arabia. Henry Kissinger came away from the gold standard, went to Saudi Arabia and said, look, can you buy up our debt and sell us some cheap oil? And what we would like in return is if you could use the U.S. dollar as the petrodollar, or, you know, peg it to the peg the trading of oil to the U.S. dollar. And that agreement has been in place for 50 years. June 9th, Saudi Arabia decided not to do that. But back then, in the late 80s, they said that if Saudi Arabia came away from that agreement, because we came away from the gold standard, if we were left hanging to where we're no longer the, you know, the petrodollar, we would go into a deep, dark depression, would start cascading the financial system. Once it starts to unravel, it would be a 72-hour period where the supply chain would seize up. People would start to go hungry very quickly. There would be no more food on the shelves. Trucks stop. Monetary system is in upheaval. And in that 72-hour period, there will be civil unrest. So I wrote the procedures for how to get us back into the safety zone with our most sophisticated weaponry. This was in 1987 or so, 87, 88. I had access to the Federal Continuity Directive, right? Now, I covered this, and I'm going to skim through this bombshell one-hour interview, and I'm also going to be sharing this with the team that's getting the word out through this documentary that JJ is putting out, okay? Now, let me finish first this interview. It is an important interview. I want everybody to share this information as if our lives depend on it, because they do. I mean, you don't have to. You don't have to click the thumbs up button. You don't have to subscribe to our channel. You don't have to go get guns or food. You don't have to do any of that. Just, I'll get you your FEMA region wristband. Just get on a rail car. And good luck to you with that. They're going to vaccinate you right before you check in. And you will, you know. I mean, most people don't procrastinate. We can't even get people to punch the freaking thumbs up button. You know, you think they're going to go get storable foods and other stuff? They're not. They're going to wait till the last section and bam, they get caught off guard. And they take their family. They're going to get on a rail car and be like a bunch of Jews right to the ovens in the concentration camp. If you like the information I'm putting out and you think it's time to act, it is! Then share this with others. Okay, let's continue on.
He's okay, before Clay. Congress. He's sitting before Congress demanding more money from Congress to build more beds. And they've been built, and they're all empty. They're all empty. Yes. I mean,
because we don't hold people anymore.
It's a good thing your documentary is called Treason, because this is treason. I mean, this is exactly what this is. What money does he need? And then what are these detention facilities being built for, as she was talking about, in all 50 states? I mean, we're talking millions of beds across the United States. For whom?
Yeah, well, that's, and she says in this interview, they're for dissidents, American dissidents. And she's right, because I know how that sounds, Clayton. I know. When I say this out loud, like you and I talked about this before, I have an inner voice and I'm like, oh God, I got to say this out loud. But it's true. So if I'm telling you that our federal government is building detention facilities across America, and therefore people that dissent, people that don't want vaccines, people that are J6ers, people that are creating militias, and you go, oh, JJ, you're insane. And I say, I push back to you. Let's go back 20 years to present day. Are you telling me this is more insane right now, what I'm talking about, than if I told you prior to 9/11, someone's going to fly planes into a building, they're going to fall down, no one's going to believe it, then we're going to use weapons of mass destruction. We're going to go into the Middle East. We're going to be in a war for over 20 years, spend $4 trillion. Thousands of men and women are going to die, American soldiers. Tens of thousands are going to be brutalized in their brain and physically destroyed with limbs and burns. The government's going to create a bioweapon. Our government, with China, is going to release it onto America and the world. Then they're going to lie to us and not tell us where it went. Then they're going to make us wear masks, sit stand 6 feet apart. They make this out of whole cloth. Then they're going to admit to it. And then they're going to force us all to get vaccines. And millions of people are dying or being injured by that vaccine. Then I'm going to use another one. I'm going to go in front of Congress. I'm going to tell you that the border secure has video of millions of people come across. I just laid out three insane scenarios, and you're telling me that this is more crazy than those three that I told you?
I mean, JJ, you're nowhere near as crazy as I am. I could give you a list of 20 right now that we cover on our show.
Yes.
You want to go back to the Oklahoma City bombing? I mean, I could go on and on and on for the level of lies that our government has told us and put forth a narrative, a public narrative. And behind the scenes, they're crafting something incredibly nefarious right now. I mean, it doesn't sound crazy to me at all. And I think you have large militias that are coming together across the United States right now who are preparing. I mean, we've been covering this on the show. I mean, we're talking 80, 100,000 Americans who are preparing right now for what's coming. So they're building these large facilities. Can you speak to some of the specifics of these facilities and who's facilitating?
All right, now we're going to cover that. We're going to cover that right now. All right, now are these facilities for dissidents? Let me tell you what they've been planning for this since 1984 plus. And I took Rex 84, that exercise, because I'm gonna read to you right here, right from Wikipedia. Okay, here's what it's for. Readiness Exercise 84. Rex 84B, short for Readiness Exercise 1984 Bravo, was a classified scenario and drill developed by the United States federal government to detain large numbers of United States residents deemed to be national security threats in the event that the president declared a national emergency. And here it is, the scenario envisioned state defense forces rounding up 500,000 undocumented Central American residents and 4,000 American citizens, whom the U.S. Attorney General had designated as national security threats as part of this secret continuity of government program. That was Rex 84. Now let's do this. I'm going to play you just a couple of excerpts from the segment that I did with Brannon. This is probably the most important broadcast that's been done up to this point. It's most comprehensive in a 1 hour segment. It's difficult to do that in a 1 hour segment. So here it is. Let me play it. Here we go.
For the past several days, and I think you made the right call, because even since you made the call to have us come together to talk about what we're going to talk about, there's even more information coming at us to support the, I guess, the topic of conversation we're going to have today is we are literally one national emergency away from totalitarian control. And how does that get done? Well, that's actually something that's been put in place over many, many decades. So that's going to be the discussion. But the key thing is we're one emergency away. They have all of the right ingredients. All the planetary alignment is set for exactly what they've been planning for many decades.
Well, let's get to it, because I know you've been researching it. One thing that happened over the weekend is the National Defense Authorization Act, as we were talking about last week, did pass the House that requires and will set up automatic selective service registration for young 18 to 26-year-old American boys, automatically selective service. They're automatically going to be registered for them to pull down and draft. And then over the weekend, we heard in the Senate version, they're doing this for girls. Adding in the Senate version requiring young American girls be added to Selective Service. This audience knows beginning in February of 2018, we began to warn about this thanks to being alerted by former Marine Captain Udell Myers. So we followed the commission started by Barack Hussein Obama and John McCain as he went out of the Oval Office. That was in February of 2018. They created a commission to study drafting America's daughters as well as mandatory community service. They finally released a report. I thought off the top of my head it was June of 2020, but it was March of 2020. They released the report. We have made this into PowerPoint. We have showed it. You can see that I have it all flagged up with post-it notes. And we've gone in March of 2020, we went through this. And indeed, they're saying to Congress, we should require young ladies to sign up for Selective Service. That is now, listening friends, been added to the Senate version. This is one of many breadcrumbs that lead us to the final conclusion. They are preparing for not only World War III, but this document also leads one to believe they want to make, well, they stated, they want to make community service mandatory. In fact, if you don't go through so many hours of community service in high school, you will not be able to graduate. They state they will make this compulsory onto homeschoolers as well. So it seems, Pete, if they have a plandemic and you have people screaming and hollering, I'm not going, they could be diverted to a basically brown shirt youth corps to be involved with what the Obamas did with Public Allies that I write about in my 2009 book, Grave Influence. So this is nothing more than a little Nazi brown shirt, draft America's daughters and sons, and those that don't want to, you can redirect them toward some kind of mandatory community service. And if you go through that and do a really good job, you can get a stipend, a salary, and you'll get your education, part of your education and housing paid for. Again, something I was warning about in my 2009 book, because we already knew this is what the Obamas were calling for from their own writings. Now the Senate is on board. Voila, the Uniparty, all in favor. Most Republicans were in favor. A couple Democrats weren't. The Uniparty overwhelming in favor. They're getting ready to murder our children, Pete.
They are, but I'm gonna hit this pretty hard in the following regard. Now, most of which I'll speak of, I have personal firsthand knowledge as to what was in something called Rex 84, Readiness Exercise 84, and what became FEMA, or the Federal Continuity Directive. And this was in the 87, 88, at the end of the 80s, from Rex 84, then FEMA was born. And all of the stuff that we're seeing as far as compulsory this, and let's get ready for this, and let's prepare for this, or let's take a look at Obama's 900 executive orders. That was a multi-layered, because this is a multifaceted approach. They have to have full situational awareness and full operational awareness. Now, I'm going to read something to everybody. And by the way, Brandon, I would say the first document, if you have that document number 0, I've got some slides that are going to help us.
I don't know if you can see that. I just threw up there was Rex 84 from Wikipedia.
Rex 84, that's right. I'm going to read the following. You ready?
Uh-huh.
Now, when I mentioned Rex 84 to you, Brandon, were you very familiar with Rex 84?
No, absolutely not. No.
Okay. Well, I'm going to read it to you because, as you remember, and that's why I say if we pull up that slide, everyone will remember, of our age anyways, our generation, when Ollie North raised his hand. During the hearings, he gave testimony about the Iran-Contra. Remember the Iran-Contra hearing?
I absolutely remember them.
That's when, now if you can imagine this, I think that was the date, I don't have it right in front of me. I think it was maybe 1991. But it was leaked in those hearings, something about our preparedness exercises. That's how this stuff started coming about. And more people were asking questions about it. So Ollie North was the one that in his hearing. Oh, I'm sorry. It was July 13th, 1987 was his testimony. Right about that same exact time, Brandon, I was actually in charge because I had had an injury. I lost my air wing status, so I had a desk job. And my job at the time, because I had to have clearance, was a classified program, was to take the information from readiness exercise 84 and then have an operational plan so that we could develop a continuity directive. My specific role in that, literally three ring binders back in the day, and using typewriters because we had computers, but everything was done.
Just so the audience understands, you were involved in this?
Oh, I was involved in prepare, not in readiness exercise 84, the implementation plan as to our readiness for the Federal Continuity Directive, because I was in charge of aviation deployed weapons, everything from conventional, chemical, biological nukes. So during civil unrest, how would you get a nuclear weapon from El Toro Marine Base to a deep underground military base?
And you're not saying anything that's not open source.
I'm absolutely not saying anything, nor will I. As a matter of fact, I have all of the documents. It's all open source. I'm going to read to you what readiness exercise 84 was intended for. This should set the stage for our conversation. Readiness exercise 84 Bravo was a classified scenario and drill developed by the United States federal government to detain
I read that. I'm just going to fast forward just a little bit.
National security bomb units stressed. There were procedures that even if NATO troops or UN troops were anywhere in the vicinity, that weapon would get to a deep underground military base, even if it meant, and actually I had operational orders to deploy cluster bomb units and to essentially gas anybody that's en route from point A to point B for national security. If you have a nuke on board, they were concealed, of course, and there's methods of concealment. I can share that with you. But if anybody was in the way, we had orders to deploy cluster bomb units to essentially not destroy infrastructure, but to gas permanently, make them go to sleep, and then move them out of the way so that we could get to our destination point. Now, let me tell you, that classified program, Readiness Exercise 84, developed by the federal government. I want to make this point of emphasis because we had the discussion about the FEMA camps, and we will talk about FEMA camps. To detain large numbers of U.S. residents deemed to be national security threats in the event that the president declares a national emergency. Let's go one step further with that, because as they tested it, they actually planned how to round up 500,000 resistors or dissidents, okay? For many, many decades, they had planned for how to take our infrastructure and utilize and commandeer. And Barack Obama, by the way, when I saw his executive orders, I knew exactly what they were. That the power that I had written about, as it was written in Readiness Exercise 84, they were concerned that if Saudi, it was written right in the manual, it said, because we signed an agreement with Saudi Arabia, that we had a national security vulnerability, that if Saudi Arabia had ever gone back on their word per the agreement, that our supply chain could break down.
Which that happened. Well, you're talking about the petrodollar agreement created by Richard Nixon after he closed the gold window. Then he creates a few years later this agreement with Saudi Arabia. We'll protect you. We'll provide you with protection if you're invaded. And of course, we put in Patriot missiles, which we've been telling this audience of Biden removed those. We showed you AP satellite photos of them there. We showed you AP satellite photos of them removed. Saudi Arabia doesn't have, I guess, the protection they need anymore. And in comes Russia to apparently fill the vacuum. And now Saudi Arabia is added to BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, of their economic system. And now Saudi Arabia is trading on some oil without the dollar. And that 50-year relationship ended last week, June 9th. It ended. It was near a peep in the media. That's what you're referring to right now. You're saying if that collapses, that agreement, these measures could kick in, because you could be talking about then the collapse of the American economy.
Not could. I'm going to say I read the words that if we were to decouple the trading of oil to the dollar, the petrodollar, because we'd come away from the gold standard and we relied upon Saudi Arabia to essentially buy up our debt, okay, and our fiat currency obviously accrues a lot of debt. But the trading of oil to the dollar was the trade-off from coming away from the gold standard. Well, if we came away from the gold standard and Saudi Arabia went back on their agreement to essentially trade oil to the petrodollar, that is a double whammy right there. It would cause us to go into a deep, deep, dark depression. Essentially, the early signs would be supply chain disruptions once people start turning on the petrodollar. Once that happens, it starts cascading. We estimated, now I say we, I was in the United States Marine Corps, I worked for the government, that once it starts unraveling and the banking system starts to unwind, it would be a 72-hour period that our supply chain would disrupt to the point to where it would cause civil unrest, period. That would happen. And that was before computers. I think that things could happen even faster. And because we have just-in-time supply issues and inventory issues as far as the grocery stores are concerned, now let's factor in what we have, fast-forwarding to today, about our food chain, our supply chain. 500 of the top food processing plants have been destroyed. We are now perfectly situated for that type of a supply chain disruption.
Which I believe was part of Great Terror, which is what the former Soviet Union talked about when some of their KGB officers defected. Great Terror is when you start taking down the infrastructure, that you start taking out their food processing plants, you start taking out their communications, transportation. This is what you do before the war starts, so you're crippling the population.
That's exactly right. And we'll talk about the communication system. Make sure that before, I don't know how much time we have, Brandon, we're going to go to what time. We have to talk about telecom.
Well, I won't. Now,
what happened through that exercise with the Iran-Contra and its involvement is that FEMA's role in readiness exercise 84 was to how to basically conscript individuals, to call them up to duty. You just referred to Barack Obama's civil defense force and to use them for this application to sidestep. Listen to this. The FEMA's role in Rex 84, branded Rex 84B, was brainstormed by Louis Jafrida as a way to ship arms to Contras in violations of the Boland Amendment, potentially impeachable offense. The states of Texas, Alabama, and Louisiana had established civilian, and this is why I'm reading this entire line here, because you just mentioned it, civilian state defense forces, independent of the National Guard, recruiting mercenaries through the magazine Soldier Fortune. This allowed FEMA to sidestep its own and Department of Defense procurement rules for weapons needed for mass detentions and sidestepped the Posse Comitatus Act. Sir, when you just touched on calling up those individuals to have them avail Barack Obama's little, you know, brown-shirted army.
Yes.
This is much more nefarious when FEMA had planned for how to violate Posse Comitatus by using civilians, how to procure weapons, and all of those procedures and how they were to move vehicles to and from, how to get weapons in and out, how to get human beings to the rail cars in certain FEMA regions. We'll go into that. But essentially, let's fast forward to Barack Obama's 900 executive orders. I don't know if you've ever seen the one where Barack Obama signed off that he could, in a national emergency, he could seize just about all of our infrastructure. Are you familiar with that?
Absolutely am. Yes, indeed.
Okay. That is 10, I think it's 995. 10995, I'm pretty sure.
Yep, there it is. 10995 allows the government to seize and control the communications media.
Yeah, communications, infrastructure, water, tractor trailers, his 900 executive orders were, it was like an octopus, but essentially fitting with what they had been planning for many, many decades. Now, sir, I will say this. I have personally taken weaponry because I was aviation ordnance, aviation weapons, and I would take weapons from, you know, the open spans of a military base and then take them into the magazine areas or deep underground military bases. I hope that slide made it to you. if it's on.
Which one is it?
It's actually slide four.
Slide four, we got that, Logan?
Slide four, the deep underground military bases. There we go. There it is. Now look at how I use these particular ones because you see the tractor trailer driving down that huge tunnel. Now, when I was in those deep underground military bases at the Yuma Proving Grounds in Colorado, there were a couple of them that I was in. We would take tractor trailers and you would have two lane highways and multiple levels. There are huge tunnels, but at the time they were not connected. Okay. And you'll see you can actually store aircraft underground. I remember our aircraft, our weapons, our most sophisticated weapons underground. And what they did was they were connecting all of our deep underground military bases with nuclear tunnel boring machines. And that's what you see there on the right.
Are you saying that many of our military bases now are connected underground?
I have been told that they all are, that they have a complete, they can get from Washington, D.C. all the way to Southern California underground. They have entire cities just about built. Trillions and trillions of dollars have been pumped into this for many, many years. They can sustain themselves for many different scenarios, but all the bases are connected. All the major primary bases are connected. All right, now let's go to the FEMA regions. And what were those FEMA regions for? As you can imagine, this is what I read, right? Readiness Exercise 84, linking up to the Federal Continuity Directive. What would happen? And you did mention storable foods. Let me tell you something. Supply chain seized up. You don't have any food. That is the pretext in a voluntary situation. That if you don't have any food, access to food, you don't have any water, you don't have any electricity, you're going to have to come to these designated areas. Now,
in other words, they'll starve you out, but those who are prepared might be able to last longer staying at home.
I'm going to tell you this right now. Never, ever, ever get on a rail car. And the only way to prevent that is to make sure that you can feed your family. Once you get to the point, because
don't get on the bus.
Do not get on the bus. Do not accept the wristband. They have this all set up. And I'm telling you, in the late 80s, they had planned for this. How you get from a local area within your FEMA region to your designated facilities.
Okay,
right now,
we have the
list I'm seeing from
the last
request.
5 minutes here. Let's come back to me real quick. That's the point. You need to be self-sufficient. You need to know what's coming. You need to know that you're profiled. But here's the main point. I want every single person to very vigorously oppose this regime's in place that will bring a false flag national emergency so that they can seize complete and total power. Barack Obama knows about this. His 900 executive orders tipped us off to the fact that he knows about this. We need to stop this regime. Once this false flag takes place, they declare a national emergency. Can you imagine Joe Biden is going to be in charge? Or we'll say Barack Obama is going to be in charge. Now, I'm going to publish all of this information. Let me put this up on the screen. There's not just FEMA camps, and we're going to conclude on this note right here. Show this on the screen. I have a list of 70,000 facilities that are pre-staging holding facilities. Mr. Switcher Boy, are you? There you go. Thank you very much. Thank you. Look at the number of facilities. It's 70,000 facilities, and I have these sorted and listed by states. Go pay them a visit. And tell them they're going to close their doors if they launch their little terror attack. Okay, 70,000 facilities all across the country, ladies and gentlemen, it's just an endless list. Look at it's the schools are going to be used, the YMCA's, elementary schools, fire departments, ski lodges, high schools. They've got all these facilities in place, and they've already surveyed them. And the survey includes, oh, you have showers? Are you ADA compliant? Look at this. Let me show you the criteria across the top of the screen. Evacuation capacity, impact capacity. Are you ADA compliant? Do you freaking accept LGBTQ people? Stupid. You'll probably have that column too. Meets earthquake standards. Pre-landfall shelter. Usable square footage. Number of floors. They've identified every single facility. Do they have fire extinguishers? All kinds of crazy bureaucratic government tyrannical bullshit. Okay? You better get yourself set between the ears. Okay? I know everybody's, you know, thinking, well, first of all, Pete, link, please. I have on all those documents, I'm actually going to provide everything. FEMA camps, documents, operation, garden plot. I have just a couple more minutes here. I have the federal continuity directive. I'll show this to you right now. Okay. This is what I was involved in writing, and it's a good read if you got a bunch of free time on your hands. Go ahead and put this up on the screen. We only have a couple minutes left. There it is. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security, Federal Emergency Management Agency. It's called FCD-1, Federal Continuity Directive, okay? Reporting system, continuity, operational plans and implementation, operational security, points of contact, so on and so on and so on. This manual, essentially, once an emergency is declared, FEMA's in charge. They're the most powerful entity on planet Earth, even over the military. Coordination with state, local, tribal, territorial governments, non-governmental organizations, and private sector, critical infrastructure owners and operators. Ladies and gentlemen, this is all we have time for. You stay tuned. I'll be covering this over the next days, weeks, and months. We're not going to stop. Least you can do, all right? Do your part. Yeah. Mash the thumbs up button. Do your part. Share this information. Stop being a feeder, okay? They can take us unwilling. They can. Come and take me. I dare you. Do not go to these facilities. Do you understand that? The first thing you get is a vax. You stand your ground. It's just one of those.